The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And welcome to Thursday. Great to have all of you with us on what we think is going to be a pretty entertaining afternoon. Some really interesting guests, including the grandson of the legendary Paul Bryant. He's also the father of an Alabama quarterback. We'll put the test to him. Bryant versus Saban. Wonder where he'll land. Anyway, so much to talk about. And speaking of Paul Bryant, our guest in the next hour was the man who presented the Paul Bryant Award last night, virtually the annual event, which takes place in Houston. And the winner, who else? Nick Saban. First time Saban has won it at Alabama. He did win the award at LSU. Some of the winners have been pretty legendary. Last year, Ogeron, Dabo. Malzahn has won it. Mike Gundy won? I must have missed his good season. And somebody that I think has won the award in the past is landing as we speak in where else but Jacksonville. How many times has Urban Meyer retired from Florida? Remember 2 years ago he said, I am done with coaching. Well, he just landed in Jacksonville, presumably to become the next Jaguar head coach. Trevor Lawrence, meet your new coach. First-time head coaches have done how well? Chip Kelly did it. Not well. Well, okay, but not great. Harbaugh was pretty good. Harbaugh went to the Super Bowl. Petrino, as with most things Bobby Petrino has done, a complete bust. Saban tried it once. Lasted 2 years. Spurrier tried it with the Redskins. Didn't go well. Speaking of those who have tried it, Bill O'Brien tried it. He went from Penn State to the Texans, did pretty well for a while, and then things caught up to him. And he may be back in college football as an assistant coach. Nick Saban digging deep into his own tree, the Belichick tree. And word is that he is about to become the offensive coordinator at Alabama. Saban losing coaches as well, though. Flood going with Sark to Texas, and he may not be the only one. There's a speculation later today that the defensive coordinator could be on the move. That, according to various reports, Pete Golding. That could be interesting. Could we see a former SEC head coach in his spot? Somewhere, those who care about Georgia football are happy. Zamir White joins James Cook in saying, you know what, we got unfinished business at UGA. I heard that before. We'll talk about all of that this afternoon with some of the best in the business. Bruce Feldman will join us. He sat on the Fox Noon desk the last couple of months with Urban Meyer, and we'll get his take on how he thinks Urban Meyer could do in the NFL. We'll also get Bruce's final thoughts on the college football season. Mark Bryant Tyson, his mother, was Paul Bryant's daughter. And we will have a lot to talk about with him. His son also is the third-string quarterback on the Crimson Tide. Armin Katayan, one of the great journalists. He's also the executive producer of the HBO documentary Tiger, which is compiled from his book by the same name. And Kensington Lloyd Smith, always a great guest, the third, from the Anderson Independent Mail. We'll check in with Kennington, not Kensington. We're trying to give him a British name. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. So we hope you'll give us a ring. We are open for business here for the next couple of hours. And let's start with Brian, who starts us off in Texas. Hey, Brian, welcome.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
Brian, I am doing well. Thank you for the call.
Well, good. Thank you for allowing me to call in. I just had a couple of comments I want to make. I'm really proud of Alabama, you know, winning again. And there's been a lot of people complaining that Alabama's always in the winning and they shouldn't be up there. You know, they, you know, Nick should resign and all that. And that's not the problem. And if they really want to level it out, there's probably a way to do it fairly, I believe. And that is, I was looking at the roster for Alabama, and I noticed that only a third of their players were from Alabama. And so I think if all the football teams would limit their out-of-state players, like Oklahoma, they draft really heavy out of Texas. But if they could limit their players from out-of-state to maybe a third of their recruits instead of two-thirds of their recruits, I think we'd have a fairer chance to even out the talent levels in the football teams in the country.
Now, that's a good thought. I appreciate your thoughts on that. Mel is up next in Florida. Hey, Mel, welcome. Good afternoon.
Happy Thursday, Paul.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for what you did to pull us through this season. But before I do that, I was talking to my oldest son last night who lives in North Carolina, and he said he spoke to you during the game the other night. Talked to you. His name is Clay. He talked to you about being at the first SEC championship game, about going to the Sugar Bowl when we beat Miami, about Coach Stallings and about John Mark, because he works with special needs children.
Oh, I do remember that, yes.
Yeah, he works especially Down syndrome, and he just loved John Mark. He's got a heart for that kind of work, and his kids love him. I mean, in fact, one of his kids that has Downs invited him to his birthday party a couple of years ago.
So no, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. And you know more about it than I do, but I called Coach Stallings. Coach Stallings got mad at me about something once. And I called him back at his ranch. And Johnny answered the phone. And I knew Johnny when he was back when he was with the team. And I said, hey, Johnny. Right. And he knew. He said hello to me. And we talked for a minute. I said, make sure you tell your pop I called. And about 2 hours later, Coach called me again screaming. I called you 2 hours. I said, well, Coach, he was really mad. I said, I called. He said, when'd you call? I said, I called 2 hours ago. He said, who'd you talk to? I said, Johnny. He just broke out laughing because he immediately realized Johnny got sidetracked. And you know, Johnny bailed me out that day because Coach was pretty hot.
Well, my son, he every day, in fact, I think he told you how much it means to him. Every afternoon, this has been a really tough year for them, obviously in school and remote learning. And his kids, he's been in school with his kids, but how much he looks forward to every day to coming home to listen to your show or watch your show. And I bet you he's listening right now because you just don't know how much it means to not just him, but you're the Feinbaum Eunice universe, how much you have meant to get us through this season. And let me tell you something. I'm not worried about getting Saban's successor one day. I'm worried about your successor. We have got I just hate to think about it. And well, I know everybody else out there does too. So from now on, it's just roll Paul. Thank you, Paul.
Mel, thank you very much. And
bye-bye.
I don't want to think about that day either, and I hope we don't have to think about it anytime soon. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Jerry in Virginia. Hey, Jerry, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for taking the call, Paul.
Thank you very much.
I sort of lost the volume a little bit. Can you?
Yeah, we'll see if we can turn it up.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jerry, go right ahead. We'll work on that from this end. You just go ahead and talk.
Oh, okay. I listened to the previous call, and it was fine, and then this one, it just kind of went dull on me. But anyway, may I respectfully disagree with you on a couple items?
Of course. That's what this show's all about.
Okay. The first item, I think you're getting ready to, with one of Bear's relatives.
Grandson, yeah, Coach
Bear,
Bryant's grandson.
And Saban for the best coach. Well, I think you're missing out by not including a third name.
Who's that?
A third SEC coach, Bob Nalen.
Well, Jerry, you're talking to the right person here, and I would agree with you that General Nealon does not get the due he deserves, and I would not have a problem with him being in this conversation. When I was a student at UT, I read a lot about him, and I talked to players and coaches who worked for him, and you know. He was unbeatable at one point. You couldn't even.
I could make a couple statistical points to verify that.
Please go ahead.
Sure. Okay. First of all, if you look at the total career of all three, Nalen had an .829 winning percent. Saban has a .791 winning percent, and Bryant has a .780. So that would be one Nalen, two Saban, three Bryant. If you looked at just the SEC record of all, the conference record while coaching in the SEC, Nalen was .827, Saban .820, Bryant .764. So that's one Nalen, two Saban, three Bryant. If you look at the non-conference career record of those three, it's .831 Nalen, .819 Saban, .797 Bryant. You know, that adds up. I think Nalen should be in the conversation, if not at the top.
Well, I do remember, I think it was his, I think it was the 39 team, 38 or 39 team. I always get this confused. I don't think they gave up a point in the regular season, Jerry.
He did have some kind of amazing defense.
No, he won. I mean, General Nealon won four national championships. He had an interesting career because, you know, he coached early on, and then obviously he was a general, so he left for World War II, and then he came back. But I'm glad you brought that up. One of these days, when things quiet down, and unfortunately, the guy who wrote the book that I knew has passed away, but. It would be worth getting a historian on just to talk about the greatness of General Nealon, not only as a football coach, but as a leader of men. His General Nealon's maxims, which you see when you go into the locker room at Nealon Stadium, of course, are about as simple and as important as any football lesson in the history of the game. We'll take a break. We have a lot to do, and we will appreciate that. We'll continue with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back. Great to have you here on the program. Right now in Tuscaloosa, a number of players are announcing their farewell to the Crimson Tide, and none of these are a surprise. Jalen Waddle, Patrick Surtain, Christian Barmore, and Mac Jones all taking off. Good luck to all of them. I think they've given them their all. I appreciate that. Let's get to Glenn, who is up next. Hey, Glenn. Glenn, you there? I do not hear Glenn, so we'll try Ray. Hey, Ray, go right ahead.
Hey, Happy New Year, Paul.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
I haven't talked to you in a couple months, man. Bear with me for a minute, okay?
I will.
Jim Harbaugh, I cannot believe this story. I mean, this guy's 0-5 against Ohio State, lost his last four bowl games, lost to an 0-5 team that nobody in the history has ever lost to an 0-5 team, Penn State. Then they had the virus, and they give him a four-year extension, Paul. This is crazy stuff. I told you they've only won one national title, half one in 100 years. Now you know why, right?
Yeah, I just think that the leadership of Michigan is so dysfunctional that they really didn't know what to do. They didn't have anybody that they had thought about to replace him. I mean, of course, that wouldn't be very difficult. So I don't think he'll be there long, Ray. I think this is a short-term fix. Harbaugh is never going to work there. So I would guess a year from today, he will be gone. How about Bill up next? Hey, Bill, thanks. Good afternoon. Bill, you there?
Hello, yes.
Well, good. Great to have you on.
How you doing, Paul? Looking good.
Thank you, Bill.
Wanted to ask you if you've heard anything that been floating around that Coach Saban has spoken to his rep, Jimmy Sexton, to make sure that Sark don't get a big, heavy buyout in his contract and no more than a four, possibly five-year contract, because Nick is telling him that he'll probably be coming back to the University of Alabama if he don't have a great old big buyout. You heard anything like that?
I have not, Bill.
But, well, I think it would be a good idea. He's done a lot for Bama. Of course, he had a great boss, and it's just a great
Yeah, but I'm not sure if you go to Texas and are successful, I'm not sure why you want to leave there and replace Nick Saban. This is for another day, but I covered the transition after Coach Bryant. I have watched from a distance other transitions, and I think this will be the most difficult in college football history, even more difficult than Ray Perkins in 1983 replacing Coach Bryant, because nobody has ever done more in a truncated period of time. And so, yeah, I don't think – first of all, I don't think you dictate buyouts when you get your you get a dream job like Texas. But I have not heard that. So thanks for the call. Appreciate it. John is next up in Virginia. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
John, we're well. Thank you.
I'm glad you got your phone lines fixed. That's one of the main reasons why I didn't call in yesterday.
Yeah. Now that was we found out it was guess whose fault? Mine. I had the system on the wrong number.
Well, it's never your fault. It's everybody else's fault. You're good to go.
Well, in this case, it was entirely my fault. But I'm having to do more than I used to because of limited situations.
Okay, well, just a couple of things I want to touch on today. As with years prior, we're having to deal with the fallout of success. You know, every year we have some coaches leaving and new coaches come in, and if it ends up being Bill O'Brien as our offensive coordinator, I think we, as Alabama fans, need to pump the brakes and not rush to judgment, give this man a chance, because when Nussmeier came in, you know, none of us had any idea what was going to happen, and we won a national championship, and then all the haters came out when Kiffin was hired, saying, oh, he was a bad head coach, and look what it's gotten for us now. You know, now as for Sark taking Flood, and now there's a rumor that Banks, special teams, is going to take him with him, and another rumor floating around that he may even take Golding with him.
Yeah, but John, let me say this to you. If he takes Golding, I don't think Saban loves Golding, by the way, but I don't think he'll try to stop him. And you know, and I know that this staff is completely over. This is an entirely new staff from 3 years ago. Nick Saban is always prepared for this. That's why he has so many analysts running in and out of that building. And don't be surprised to see a couple of more well-known former head coaches in the analyst room very soon. Nick Saban does not particularly worry about stuff like this because it happens every year.
Right. I'm past the point where I'm have like no faith in Saban. I'm like, whatever decision he makes, I'm going to be okay with. But I thought maybe, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this about maybe replacing Flood with Herb Hand.
Well,
the offensive line coach from Texas. He's a real good recruiter, and he's got SEC ties.
Yeah, but thanks for the call. I think you're more than likely going to see a former head coach in that position, either Charlie Strong, who may end up with Urban Meyer, Will Muschamp. There's a coach currently in the SEC as a head coach. If he doesn't stay much longer, could be a contender. That will be the easiest job to fill because I think anybody you get – likely will be a step up. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Rodney up next. Hey, Rodney, you're on the air. Rodney, you there?
Yeah.
John is up next. John, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year.
Hey, I think I heard you talk about earlier in the program about college coaches that went to the NFL as head coaches.
Right.
And I'm sure you've talked about it before. But as far as in Nick Saban's tenure in the NFL as a head coach, did you talk about why it was so short-lived?
Well, it was he spent 2 years with Miami. Part of it was because he decided to leave. And he nearly went to the playoffs his first year. I think he missed it by one game on the final weekend of the year. The second season, he was in the playoff contention, and then I think they lost the last couple of games. And he got the Alabama offer. And I remember, because I was covering it, Wayne Huizenga, the owner of the Dolphins at the time, did not want him to leave because he felt like he was building something, even though the famous story about missing on Drew Brees because of the medical staff would not give the approval. But I think if he'd gotten Drew Brees, he may not have left.
Well, that sounds good, Paul. I just realized that I'm assuming that it's a lot harder to coach a bunch of grown men that are receiving a salary as opposed to, 18 to 21-year-olds that are there for education.
Yeah, I think Urban Meyer, Saban had that problem. I talked to former players under Saban in Miami, and, they really just NFL players don't care about what they care about what their assignments are given to them by their position coach. And that's about it. They don't want to hear any rah-rah speeches. But Urban Meyer is a great organizer. He builds a great culture. We're going to talk about that in a minute with someone who knows him very well. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Fox. He sat with Urban on the Fox Big Noon pregame show set all this past year. He'll join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So we have a lot to talk about a couple of days after the national championship, a look ahead to next year, the coaching moves, and the big story of this day in sports, the likelihood that Urban Meyer is heading to the Jaguars. He has landed there, and an official announcement could come soon. Bruce Feldman, one of the top reporters and writers in the entire country, works for The Athletic. He also works for Fox, where he was a colleague of Urban Meyer these last couple of years on the Fox pregame show. Bruce, thanks for the time. I want to start right there. We've asked you in the past about your thoughts on Urban Meyer. Now that it looks like he's very likely going to take this job. How do you think it will work?
That's a great question, Paul. Obviously, he had a wildly successful in the college game, but in the NFL, you don't get 25 four- and five-star players in a class. Now, he will get the first pick in the draft. I would be surprised if it wasn't going to be Trevor Lawrence. They have a ton of cap space, and they have a bunch of draft picks. So the thing that I think will be very interesting beyond, you know, this is, we talked about this a little bit, like how would Urban Meyer handle losing, just because it's something he really never, hardly ever did in college. And in the NFL, you're going to do that. I mean, he's taken over a team that is on a 15-game losing streak. That's twice as many games as he lost in seven seasons combined at Ohio State. You know, so there's that. I think the biggest thing is going to be, and this is from talking to people around the NFL, is what kind of staff can he put together? Because that is the kind of, it's different than it is in college, how you go about this. And that's his whole kind of world has been college and college coaches. And you in the NFL, you just can't hire anybody that's under contract. So it's fired guys or college guys who you think can move up. But I don't know, it's going to be fascinating because the guys who have transitioned from college to the NFL and did it the best, Pete Carroll, who was an NFL coach before, Jimmy Johnson, who really did very well, obviously, at the Cowboys after some struggles early building that thing. But those guys are different personalities, much so, more so than Urban is. And so we'll see. I mean, I'm fascinated to see how it works, you know, because I think this has been something he's been curious about, and I think this one was just too tempting for him to pass up.
Bruce, you know the college game, and you know who Urban has worked with. What would your best guess be in terms of the makeup of his staff? I realize we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but still, I'm sure you've heard some names.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the names I heard was Charlie Strong was a possibility. You know, obviously, he's on the Alabama staff. He was a defensive coordinator for him at Florida, and it's somebody who I know Urban has a great amount of respect for. I know he has a lot of respect for former Texas defensive coordinator Chris Ash, who was on his staff at Ohio State. Those are the names on the defensive side of the ball I'd heard. At one point, somebody had mentioned Scott Linehan, who was at LSU briefly for the past year, and before that, I spent a lot of time in the NFL. I don't know in what roles some of these guys could be in the mix for. Again, I would imagine he's going to load up on a lot of guys who have extensive NFL backgrounds, because I just don't think when you have a head coach who's never been in the NFL, and then all of a sudden you're going to bring up a bunch of college guys, I think that you have to lean on certain people to make it work, because it's a completely different kind of world you're jumping into.
Bruce Feldman with us from The Athletic. Bruce, there are a lot of reports out there right now that Bill O'Brien is heading to Tuscaloosa to be the OC. Great job at Penn State, you know, reasonably good job at Houston until they just went off the deep end. What are your thoughts on his bizarre return to college football as an assistant coach?
Well, he's a guy who has been a coordinator before in college at a couple of stops. He has a reputation for being very good with quarterbacks from his time in the NFL, and also with Christian Hackenberg early at Penn State when he started to get the program going a little bit after all the chaos and dark cloud that was coming out of that horrific Sandusky scandal. That, you know, he took over the program after that, and you know it was bleak. Obviously, the big connection is Bill Belichick, who he worked under, and obviously Nick Saban knows well. I think that, you know, one of the transition parts is going to be to learn the Nick Saban system as well as what they like and have done well in the offense. I mean, they're still, even with Sark moving on, even with a few assistants moving on to Austin, I mean, the core is still in there, and I think that Nick Saban has been brilliant, his ability to sustain and keep building even when assistant coaches leave. I mean, it's been unlike anything I think we've ever seen, at least in football. I can't think of another example anyplace else. I mean, that's why it's been this remarkable dynasty. So again, for a lot of people, I remember when we reported that O'Brien was likely to be the guy the night of the title game Monday, you know, I noticed some of the snarkiness coming back in the tweets about, you know, because of how it ended at Houston Texans. Well, a lot of people were really skeptical of Lane Kiffin when Nick Saban hired him. They were certainly skeptical of Steve Sarkisian, and look how those hires turned out. I mean, Mike Locksley, his career was not in a great place when he got to Tuscaloosa, and he left with a Big Ten head coaching job. So, and look, all those guys are talented in what they do, but I think ultimately it's like you add into what really Nick Saban has cultivated there, and I think that's why, you know, it's like Saban knows best when it comes to these things.
On days like today, there are a lot of reports out there. There is even one about Pete Golding maybe going with Sark. He is well liked by Saban, although he may not be quite as well liked by the fans. Even though he called a really good game on Monday night, if indeed he leaves, I would think the speculation on the next defensive coordinator at Alabama would be pretty interesting, considering how many former. And possibly how many former DCs are out there under Saban, and there could be some more before long.
Yeah, I don't know that one. I mean, we've reported about Jeff Banks leaving to go with Sark. I honestly haven't heard conclusively what was going to happen there on the defensive side of the ball with Pete. I mean, I think, you know, Paul, you and I talked about this a while back about sometimes, and I don't know if this is the case, but sometimes, you know, some of these moves happen and Nick Saban isn't really, you know, troubled that they're happening. And I don't know if this would fit in the category or not, because as you said, Pete Golden did a really good job on a very talented Ohio State offense the other night. And so, it's hard to find fault with anything. And quite honestly, you know, what we've seen from offenses in the SEC in the last couple of years, it's hard to be a, quote, really good defensive coordinator in college football these days. I mean, we saw what LSU's offense did last year. We saw certainly what Mac Jones and that group did this year. And so, I think Pete Golding certainly has done a really good job there. I'm interested to see what, because there are guys out there, and there are guys, I think, on the radar who you could say, okay, that guy worked for Nick Saban. I could see Nick Saban plucking that person in if it came to that.
Bruce, before you go, you follow coaching moves very, very closely, and there's three South Carolina coaches have left Shane Beamer's staff to go to Auburn. There's a lot of concern about that, considering Beamer came in there with a lot of optimism, and it seemingly has been zapped. Do you have any thoughts on what's going on there?
You know, I think there were a lot of these guys were proven have been around the SEC guys. I don't think that there's any sense of panic at this point. If you're a Gamecock fan, I think you know it's going to take some time. You have a first-time head coach getting his culture established. I mean, the thing I remember hearing so much of is you had so many former players who really championed that hire. Now, losing some guys to Auburn when you have a transition there, I think it's not shocking, especially it's not shocking to see, you know, you have an Auburn great who was played there and then was on the staff when you won a national title to go back there. I don't think that's a surprise. I think the Mike Bobo move was something that was noteworthy, not just because he's been around the SEC for a while, but certainly because it was connected to you have a five-star quarterback commit who has a relationship with Bobo, and you wonder long-term what that means. So I think those are the kinds of things that probably give fans, that get them alarmed. But I think it's way too soon before anybody's like, okay, we need to freak out or get kind of any kind of dismay that this isn't going to work out or change our feeling on it by something that happened within the first month on the job. I just think there's just so many balls up in the air for a new head coach taking over that I just think you have to see where it's going before you know, anybody makes too much of a read on, well, this assistant coach decided to go back to their alma mater, or this assistant coach, you know, went here or there. I just think that's kind of the nature where we're at. We're, you know, we're talking about a lot of coaching change in Alabama. It shouldn't be surprising that we're seeing it in Columbia, South Carolina, too.
And I don't think you would agree, you would disagree that it's not too soon to panic on Rocky Top. What do you hear about the rather fluid situation with Jeremy Pruitt?
Yeah, it does seem really fluid. I mean, Paul, I feel like we talked about this not that long ago, where it's like, you know, to give a coach only 3 years and year three comes in a pandemic is really tough, especially when there was just so much uncertainty swirling around that program. He hadn't the first-time head coach. Now, if they find something that egregious in this investigation that turns into a full-blown scandal and that gives them a fire for cause out with Jeremy Pruitt, then I think there's probably a lot of Tennessee fans who would breathe a sigh of relief. But be careful on that, because, you know, it's going to be it'll only make it that much harder to hire the next head coach, because then you're talking about whoever comes in would have a cloud of the NCAA hovering over it. So you're talking about not just probably a 5-year deal, whoever that is, you're probably talking about even longer, maybe a 7 or 8 year deal because of that uncertainty. It's hard to get a, you know, like it doesn't smell great for Jeremy Pruitt on this point. I don't know what is, you know, because if they move on from Jeremy Pruitt, I don't see how you keep Phil Fulmer in charge to have a role in the next hire, because this is the guy he handpicked. And if it didn't work, obviously there are struggles no matter what happens. Even if Jeremy Pruitt keeps his job, I mean, he's going to go into 2021 on the hottest seat in the SEC because of just how bad they were this year on the field. I guess it comes back to what they find in this investigation and then who they hold culpable for it if there's something really egregious. And so that's a situation, honestly, all of us around college football are really keeping an eye on now and have been for the last couple of weeks.
Bruce, many thanks. It is always great to have you on. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
Bruce Feldman joining us from The Athletic. A lot of meaty conversation there. We are going to take a break. We're a few minutes away from a conversation with Mark Tyson. Who is he? He's the father of Alabama, of an Alabama quarterback. He's also the grandson of the legendary Paul Bryant. He'll join us in the next hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back. Great to have you here. Don't forget, we have a lot to do on the rest of the show. We'll talk to Mark Tyson in the next hour. Ken is up next in Philadelphia. Hey, Ken.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Thank you very much.
I just want to tell you how much I appreciated you this season. For God's sakes, you put this program together every day with optimism, and you put things in a great perspective. You analyze beautifully. And it was tough, and you somehow managed to pull us through it. And I looked forward to your program. I didn't get to watch it every day, but I looked forward to it every day. And it was wonderful. It was a wonderful time in Philadelphia when we were sitting in this dreary part and having to deal with what we were dealing with. You helped tremendously.
Well, Ken, a lot of people deserve that credit. The people behind the scenes really make this show work. On behalf of all of us, thank you very much for saying that.
And also, Mr. Feldman put it pretty much perspective about the Tennessee Vols. I was going to ask you what's going on, but I will tell you, I just got to the point, I don't want to really know what's going on because it's frightening to me. It's just frightening.
Yeah, well, I mean, at some point we do need to know, and I'm sure there is a specific reason why we don't yet. It means the investigation is ongoing, but this is a very painful water drip right now, and it has to come to an end one way or the other.
Well, thank you so much for everything you've done for football this season. Thank you,
Ken,
thank you.
Thank
Have
you.
A beautiful, beautiful.
Ken, we appreciate Bye-bye. It. Thanks on behalf of all of us. Thanks for the kind words. We are heading to a break, and we have much to do in the next hour. Mark Tyson joins us in a few minutes, the grandson of the legendary Coach Bryant. And we will take your calls as well. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.